Welcome to episode 7 of Autograph Weekly.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
What's going on, autograph collectors? I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And I'm Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, where we will feature autograph addiction every week until Brie Olsen closes her legs. Which my partner Stacy tells me she's retired now, but I'm sure she's still not refraining from sex. So we're still on the air.
Works for me.
Yeah. Guys, we want to remind you that there will be a keyword hidden in this podcast. You have to listen to the entire podcast to find the keyword. Once you do, we'll explain what to do with it later on, and you could possibly win some awesome stuff. Possibly an autograph. Just saying. So keep your ears peeled for that keyword. Stacy, I heard we have a little iTunes news, so go ahead and tell us what's going on.
All right, I'm going to give you guys a quick update on where we are on iTunes. And once again, this is just completely due to you guys downloading the show, listening to the show, leaving the reviews and comments and whatnot. So once again, thanks for taking the time to do that and keep subscribing to the show, listening to us. So here we go. We are actually back on the front page on the new and noteworthy section. Once you hit the see all, we pop up in there. I'm not exactly sure what the number was. There's like 200 podcasts in there, but we are in there once again.
And who are we next to?
Taylor Swift podcast and a Rich Eisen podcast.
Rich Eisen, we're coming for you. Oh, wait, are we already ahead of him?
Yeah, we're ahead of him.
That's right. We're beating Rich Eisen. That's right.
We're still not as good as Taylor Swift,
though. We're not as good as Taylor Swift. But Rich Eisen, we got your number. Go ahead.
And then if you do a search under the Games and Hobbies tab on the podcast section, we are actually, I believe, fifth in there now on the new and noteworthy section. And then if you break it down just to the hobbies, we are actually in the number one spot on the main page of the hobbies section under the new and noteworthy. So once again, just thank you guys for the continued support. And anything you want to add to that, Zane?
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't do it without you guys. I mean, I think it had a lot to do with our contest that we held last week. But it's you guys who go out there and tell other people about us, get our ratings up, as well as the actual, not views, but the listens, I guess they're called, our hits on our podcast. That's what drives us into those spots. And once we get up there in iTunes, guys, that's how other people find us. That's how we can grow the community, and we all can have a happy family. And I don't know. It's just awesome what you guys have done for us. We're just very, very, very grateful. I never thought we'd be as high into iTunes as we are. I mean, on the hobby page, the new and noteworthy like icons are so freaking big. Like, they're the size of your fist. If you take your fist, and if you have, like, around a 24-inch monitor, put your fist up on the monitor. That's how big the freaking icon was in iTunes showing off our podcast. So thank you so much, guys. You guys rock. Let's go ahead and do the return recap. Stacy, what'd you get?
All right. Once again, a very, very solid week for me. I ended up getting in 30 successes this week, sent out another 50, so just a quick update there. Also ordered a massive Wing Flash order this week, 600 photos. That was kind of crazy. Most of those are for a project that I'm working on that you guys will hear a lot about here in the upcoming shows. So I'll get to the stuff I got in this week, go over these real quick. Got in Reed Hastings back this week. He signed 1 of 1. He is the CEO of Netflix. So with all the turmoil and stuff going on with Netflix, it was a nice surprise to get that back so quickly. And also got Mitch Lowe, which is one of his competitors, who's the CEO at Redbox. So he signed 2 of 2 for me and got those on the same day, so that was kind of interesting. Also got Ron Paul, signed 2 of 3 photos for me. National Cool Star Wars photo that somebody did of him as a Jedi Master when he was running for president. That was pretty sweet. Got in Ashley Green this week as well, 2 of 2. She is best known for being Alice on the Twilight movies. Got in Molly C. Quinn also. She signed 3 of 3 for me. She is best known for being on the TV show Castle. She plays Alexis Castle on that show. Pretty awesome show. So was real happy to get that in. Got Bridget Reagan. She signed 3 of 3. She is was on The Legend of the Seekers, what she was doing most recent. I believe that show got canceled. They are trying to get it to be back on the air, but I'm not sure what's going on with that for sure. Got in Howard Dean. He signed all 3, and I owe that to my co-host for an address that he found. And he signed a photo of him from his famous rant, so I was pretty happy to get that back. I wasn't quite sure if he would sign that photo or not, but he did.
It wasn't a rant. It was a scream, not a rant. Yeah, but it wasn't a rant. I guess it was a rant. I mean, he was getting pumped up on her. I guess it might have been a rant, but the scream is what really everybody tacked onto. I mean, people rant, but people don't scream in a presidential election very often.
Yeah, that was cool success to get back. He added, I think, a go for it inscription on it too, so that was pretty cool. Let's see, a couple more CEOs I got back this week. I got Dick Costello, who is now the CEO at Twitter, so that was a nice return. Also, Meg Whitman. Haven't seen too many her signing too many things at all, so I was pleasantly surprised to get that back. She's now the CEO of HP. She came over from eBay, so that was a cool return. And one other one, I'll go over here real quick. Got Walter Kern in today. He signed 3 of 3 photos for me and also included a real nice bonus, sent me a signed book of his. So that's just always a real nice bonus, getting something like that back, especially a book. He had a real nice inscription on the inside of it as well. So, like I said, once again, real solid week for me again. So what'd you get in this week, Zane?
I had a pretty decent week, not an amazing, amazing week, but got some pretty solid returns from some awesome private addresses. As you guys know, I am the private address king. And we'll start off with one of those, George Stephanopoulos. I believe he was the presidential advisor for Clinton. I may be wrong on that. But he went on to appear as an analyst on many news shows. I think he had his own show on NBC for a while. And I don't know what he's doing now, but I got a couple book plates signed by him and a couple index cards. Again, total shot in the dark, private address. It worked. Super happy with that, because that'll be a great addition to my signed political book PC. Next, another awesome private address find. This one's amazing. Hall of Fame baseball player Dennis Eckersley. A lot of people know that if you've been around TTMs for a while, Eckersley is weird when it comes to signing. Usually when a new address pops up, he'll sign for maybe a couple months. And once those couple months are over, he usually stops signing at all. And all of the envelopes that get sent to him disappear into oblivion. Lots of pendings on him. So I found an address, and it worked perfectly. Signed 3 of 3 baseball cards, 2 cards for my top fan favorites, PC. So I was super happy with that. I gave the address to one more person. They also got a success, so on the same day. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Next, we have Carl Rove, which I'm pretty sure I mentioned him in the last podcast. But, weird little incident. I accidentally, it wasn't an accident even. It was just a weird thing of luck, I guess. I sent to him first, and he sent a letter back, not in my envelope, in his own envelope, saying, this is not our address anymore. We've moved our offices. And they gave me the new address. So I wrote an entirely new letter to this new address. And then I got a return in like 3 days after I got that other letter. I'm like, gee-miny, you mean my letter went from Illinois to Virginia in 3 days and back in 3 days? I'm like, that sounds fishy, but whatever. So I took it and I marked it down. Turns out, that one I got 3 days later was my original letter that I wrote. So he signed 4 book plates in that one. This week, I got back my other one that I wrote after that, signed 6 book plates. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have 10 signed Carl Rove book plates. So, if I ever need to build a fort of some kind. I can just use my Karl Rove book plates. Yeah, it's just an awesome success. Awesome little hiccup, but whatever. Now I got to find 10 Karl Rove books. I actually have to spend money on that douchebag. I think he was... I'm not going to get into politics. Some people were complaining on the reviews about my political views, so I'll try to tone the rhetoric down. Next, we have Ron Paul. Ron Paul, of course, running for president. Very surprised to get this back. I think it was in under a month. And he signed 2 book plates for his book and 2 index cards. And like I said, kind of surprising. A lot of politicians don't sign while they're in the campaign mode because they have so much to do. I mean, it's literally 24/7 work. So very, very happy to get that back. Hulk Hogan, brother. Got him back this week. Some people say it may be secretarial. I know that I got a return from him 3 months ago. Everything matched up on those. These are a little more rounded, but you know, nobody signs the same every time. Not 100% sure if they're authentic or not, but that was another return. Next, we have Betty White, who signed 2 book plates and 2 index cards. Awesome return from, obviously, a comedy legend. She's... she's like 80-something, 85 or something, and she can make raunchy jokes with the best of them, which is just awesome. I'm trying to hurry this up. Jesse the Body Ventura, governor of Minnesota, obviously, and WWF wrestler, signed, I think, 3 book plates, did not sign the index cards, so that was a really cool success. And last, a private address for James Patterson. I wrote to his old address, and then I got a forward address, an RTS with a forward address. I sent to that forward address and got back everything signed, 4 book plates. Plus, he wrote me a little note, which is cool because James Patterson is one of the most notable authors today. So that was awesome. And guys, if you want to write to James, I believe the address is on Star Tiger. It was untested, but it's the address that was on the envelope on my RTS. So... technically, that one's not private. Anyways, to Geek a Week. Oh, wait, we don't have any Geek a Week successes, do we, Stacy?
Nope, none for this week. I think I may have signed out a couple more this week. I don't remember if it was this week or last week, but hopefully we'll have a couple. Hopefully, it's a couple more of those to come in here shortly. We've got to do some work and find some more addresses and get some more of that stuff out. So.
Yeah, I have a big old stack. I mean, it's not a big old stack. It's probably a stack of 20 sitting over there that I haven't sent out yet. It's not because I just don't have the time. It's because I don't have addresses. I need to do some looking for some private addresses and get those sent out ASAP to fill the void in the podcast, if you will. Oh, we don't have any Autograph Weekly autographs. Kind of embarrassing. But, you know, you can't control TTMs. That's one thing you'll learn, you guys. And if you guys have been doing it for years, know that you never know when you're going to return. You may write to Lauren Bacall, who's like one of the best signers, if not the best signer out there, and somebody may get it in 6 days, 7 days, like she usually signs. You may get it in 6 months. You may get it in a year. It's just weird stuff like that happens, and you just gotta wait. Gotta be patient. Let's move on to the news. So what kind of news you got for us, Stacy Schaefer?
All right, I've got a few items here. Just want to take a moment real quick and give thoughts and prayers out. We lost a couple people this week. Joe Frazier passed away, just one of the legends of boxing. If you guys haven't seen his fights with Ali or Foreman, do some YouTube searching and watch those. And he just was a great legend of boxing. And then we also lost a legend of the rap game the other night. Heavy D died, so... just want to take a moment and pass a couple of those around along real quick.
Did you have Frazier's autograph?
I'm not even sure. I've got some boxing stuff I need to go through and see if I've got it or not.
I got a signed index card. I got it in a lot of stuff from another TTM collector. Made a deal. So, yeah, I got one. But I used to have a signed business card. But that's one of the things I sold when I turned 18, like an asshole. But... go ahead with your...
Yeah, and back on the Frazier thing, I've got one of the news articles. I'm not going to go over it real... I'm not really going to go over it here. I'm going to post it on our Facebook page and on our website. It's just a real cool article about somebody who got Joe Frazier's autograph not too long ago at Madison Square Garden. It was probably one of the last things that he ever signed at Madison Square Garden. So it's just a cool article. We'll have that posted there. And a couple other quick news bits here. So, Zane, you're a diehard Cubs fan, correct?
Yes, sir.
So would you take your fandom to having a whole bunch of Cubs, great Cubs, sign your body somewhere and then go get that autograph tattooed?
I don't know, man. I mean, I love tattoos and all, but I don't know. I probably wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, there's this article about this diehard Bears fan. His name is Glenn Timmerman, and he has actually got 126 autographs on his body that he's turned that he's had 126 great Bears sign his body somewhere and has actually turned them all into tattoos. So that's just pretty bizarre. We'll have a link to the story on our Facebook page and on the website. There's a photo of Dick Butkus signing his upper thigh. So pretty interesting and bizarre story there. And my other real quick news tidbit, this happened, it looks like, last Tuesday evening around 10:30. This 38-year-old Joseph Curry was on his way home from work when he came across, it was a traffic accident. It looked like somebody hit a deer. He stopped at his vehicle and got out there on the road and looked into the car and saw there was a bag with a T-shirt and a 2011 World Series baseball hat on it. So he got it out, was looking at it a little closer, and found out that and saw that it was actually a team-signed 2011 Cardinals World Series hat that somebody had lost. So, and the best thing about this story is this Joe guy is a diehard Cubs fan.
No, he's not. If he's a diehard Cubs fan, that thing would have been firewood already. I'm sorry.
But he says he's going to give it. He said he's going to give it back to the. He wants to get it back to the rifle owner, but we will see. So those just a couple of quick, quirky news stories that I had. So what'd you got this week, Zane?
You mean the rightful owner that pays the most on eBay?
Kind of.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, it is a Cardinals hat. Yeah. Anyways, my news story is pretty weird, man. There's a guy that plays for the Nationals. His name's Wilson Ramos. Some of you guys may have heard of him. Some of you guys may have his autograph. He is currently kidnapped. I'm not kidding, okay? And you're like, what's this have to do with autographs? Well, the way they got him out of his house is somebody was an autograph seeker, and he went out to oblige the autograph seeker. And according to the Venezuelan newspaper, Ramos was outside when an orange Chevrolet approached with gun-toting kidnappers. And while he was signing autographs, they kidnapped him. So he's currently still kidnapped, and they say as of Thursday afternoon, he is still alive. So just a really weird story, kind of being almost overshadowed by the whole Penn State thing, which, you know, you could debate. The Penn State thing's awful and horrible. But this, I mean, this guy's freaking kidnapped and could get murdered. Professional baseball player, plays for the Senators, and it's like second page news. Because it's happening in Venezuela and it's not in the United States of America. And a lot of people, if it doesn't happen here, they don't care. So, guys, be aware of that. It does tie into autographs, like I said, because he was signing an autograph when it happened, but it's just weird, man. I saw that news story, I was like, really? Like, how come I haven't heard of this, like, until I was looking up autograph news? So be on the lookout for more news coming from that story, because it'll be interesting to see what happens. Hopefully he can get out safely and everything will be okay. But you never know. I mean, I didn't think Venezuela was that crime-ridden. You always think of Mexico when you think of crime-ridden gangs and stuff, people getting kidnapped. But apparently Venezuela is bad too. So, yeah, that's all I got for the news today. Let's go ahead and move on to the Q&As. Stacy actually has all the Q&A questions you guys submitted this week, and we're going to go through those and answer them right now. So go ahead. What's the first one, Stacy?
Alrighty, we had quite a few of these this week. So once again, thanks for getting these into us, and keep these coming in. We like to answer this stuff. So first one is coming from Matt SaberCats316 on YouTube. When writing to pro wrestlers, do you guys use real name or ring name? And I will start with this. Majority of the time, I'm going to use their real name unless they are more known by their ring name, i.e. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Steamboat.
Most of his, yeah. But like I said, there's a, I mean, it's probably 75-25. I'll use their real names over their ring name. But there's the occasions like Hogan and Steamboat. And
Here's
you want to add to that?
Here's what I do, okay? If they're a definite sign, if they sign very well through the mail, then I'll usually use their ring name because that's what I know them by. Or this goes for anybody that has a pen name, even an author, if they have a pen name, if it's not their actual name. If I know they're going to sign, I'll use their pen name or a wrestler's ring name. But if they're a tough sign, if it's a private address, and I don't know if they're going to sign or if it's up in the air, I will use their real name, especially authors, because they may not answer fan mail, and it almost tricks them into opening up the mail. It sounds horrible, but you just have a better chance of success if you actually use their real name. Like Nora Roberts. Nora Roberts isn't her real name. It's Eleanor something. I've forgotten her last name. But when I wrote to her, which I just sent another TTM out last week, I put Eleanor, whatever her last name is, I forgot, not Nora Roberts, because if it's Nora Roberts, she knows that that mail is probably fan mail. So that's how I judge whether I use the real name or pen name or ring name.
All right. Next question is coming from Garrett, and he is asking, how much have you paid for a TTM auto, or have you, and what would be the most you would pay for a TTM auto? To answer the first part of that, yes, I have paid for TTM auto. I don't do it a whole lot. If it's something that I need, I'll do it, but very rarely. Maybe 20 to 25 times I've done this. The most I think I've paid is probably $10, and I believe that was for Raleigh Fingers a couple years ago. What about yourself, Zane?
Well, I just paid for Andre Dawson, and usually, and I know it sounds horrible, but if they're wanting money, you can usually do about 3/4 to a half of that, and they'll usually still sign for it. Especially if this sounds horrible, but if it's for a charity, they will usually sign for that. And I'm not against giving money to charity. Obviously, it's just that I don't have a lot of money to be throwing around. So the least amount of money I can spend, the better. I think everybody agrees with that. Most of the people are in the same boat as me. So I sent to Dawson, and he signed for $8. So that was recent. But I'm actually planning on sending to Troy Aikman. A lot of you guys don't know this, and helpful hint here, if you didn't know this, Troy Aikman signs 8x10s. I think it's through his foundation, or there's an address on Star Tiger. For $25, he'll send you a signed 8x10, personalized to you. I think it's only personalized. I don't think he signs them just without personalizing. But I'm going to be doing that probably in the next month. So that'll probably be the most I've ever spent actually sending money to an athlete to sign TTM. So that would be mine.
All right.
Wait. What was the second part of that question? Was it...
what's the most that you would pay for a TTM?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was wanting to make a little point on that because at first when I heard your question, I thought it meant what's the most I would pay for a TTM. Like, somebody got a TTM and was selling it on eBay, not you actually pay the athlete who you're sending the TTM to. So actually, that doesn't even apply. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if it was the eBay thing, because I don't know which one you're talking about. I assume you're talking about the actual athlete sending the money to the athlete. But if you're talking about eBay, I would definitely pay top dollar, whatever that autograph is worth. I'd pay top dollar for it if it's a signed letter that has some kind of cool inscription or talks about something cool, or like George W. Bush. Like, a lot of people don't want to wait however long it takes for George W. Bush's autograph to come in. So some people may go online on eBay and buy a book plate that he sends out for free for $50, $60, just because they don't want to wait. That's not me. I wouldn't pay $50, $60 for a Bush Book flight, but some people aren't patient, and they do that. So that covers both sides of the question, just in case he meant the other thing. I'm just throwing it out there. Go ahead with the next question.
Okay, and just to follow up on that, I don't think I answered the second part of that. To me, it would just depend on what it was, and if it was something that I was after, or... I mean, it's kind of a hard question to answer, so it just kind of depends on the situation.
Yeah, most of the time that I pay, and I think Stacy pays, is when it's a part of something we're collecting at the time. If it's part of a PC, as we call it, a personal collection, and you need it to complete a set, or you need it to complete a group of players that you're trying to get, that's the reason I got Dawson. I needed him on a Top 10 Favorites card. He ended up signing the Hall of Fame ticket instead, but whatever. That's the reason I paid for it, because I needed him to do something for a set. So I think that's the main reason that we send off to people that charge.
All right, we'll move on to the next question. This one's coming from Graham, and this has to do with speaking of personalized, this is going to be a question about what do you prefer, personalized autographs or just the autograph? And myself, I mean, I prefer the personalized stuff, because then most of the time, that's going to say at least they looked at the letter and possibly read the letter instead of just the simple autograph. What about yourself?
I enjoy personalized stuff. I do like it when they personalize one thing and maybe don't personalize the next two things. That way, I do have some good trade bait. But it's almost like I enjoy, even if it's not inscribed to me, I would still rather it be personalized, because somebody that's going to forge a signature most likely is not going to add an inscription. For one, it's harder to do, to actually get the handwriting down to do the inscription. Number two, it decreases the value of the autograph if it's inscribed to somebody else. So when it's inscribed, it gives a little more levity to authenticity. So whenever I'm looking for like an autograph for one of my PCs, I try to keep my eye out for personalized items, because I know that those tend to be, and I'm not saying all, if it's personalized, it's authentic. By far, that's not true. But you have a better chance of getting an authentic item that is personalized than something that's just a name on a piece of paper.
Good answer, Al. I agree with that totally. Like I said, I just prefer a personalized, like I said, at least you know they took the time to at least look at the letter. Whether or not they read the letter or not is another story, but...
yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on to the next question. This is coming from Ben Martinez, and this is, what kind of returns do you prefer? The returns that are short and quick, or the long returns with the satisfaction of getting something back that you thought you lost?
There is no satisfaction in that. it's all pain and agony until it comes in, so definitely the short term. I mean, I think Stacey agrees with me fully on this one.
Yeah, I would definitely say the short and quick returns, but it's always nice to get something back that you totally forgot about, or it's been out there for 2 or 3 years. It's always a pleasant surprise. So
right, but all the worry in between, like, oh man, like you send something off. I was talking to Stacy, you send something off to Lauren Bacall, and then like you get it 6 months later when somebody else got it in a week. So that whole 6 months you're waiting, you're just like, oh gosh, where is it? Oh my goodness, I sent off to this. What's happened? Where is this letter? And you're just freaking out about it. Maybe not freaking out like that. I mean, I don't think any of us freak out that bad. But in your mind, it bugs you. You're like, where is that letter? I wonder if
the celebs are just messing with us, man.
Exactly. Yeah, they're screwing with us. No, I mean, it's in the back of your mind. Is it in the trash somewhere? Is it on somebody's desk? Like, why is it taking so long? And that drives me crazy. So I would much rather have a freaking week success. You know, you send it off, and a week later, you get it back. It's very, very easy, simple, instant gratification. That's what our country's built on these days. So, that's my answer.
All righty, we'll move on. These next questions are all coming from Jeremy Daniels, who is BossHog797 on YouTube. First question he asks is, do you buy all your TTM supplies in bulk, and if so, where do you buy from? And I will answer this. Myself, I buy stuff about every week. Whenever I'm at a store, I'll buy 2 or 3 boxes of envelopes, pens if I need them or whatever. Stamps, that as far as stamps, I'll probably, I'm a little different probably from a lot of people that send out TTMs. I'm constantly, I mean, I'm on average just sending out 10 a day, and I know a lot of people don't probably do that many. So, I mean, I'll go to the when I go to the post office, I'll buy stamps probably every 3 days, maybe I'll buy 2 or 3 books. So, other stuff, the sheets and binders and stuff, I just kind of buy when I need them. I don't buy a lot of that stuff in bulk. So, what about yourself, Zane?
Yeah, I don't even know the last time I bought sheets and binders and stuff to put my they just appear out of nowhere. I think I got some sheets at the Dollar Tree. Those are the last sheets I got. But everything else just kind of appears there. I don't know how it happens. I think it's from my old Ice Click baseball cards. I got the binders from back when I collected baseball cards and stuff. But okay, so you want to know where I get my stuff and if I get it in bulk? I get most of my stuff at the Dollar Tree. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a cheap bastard, and Dollar Tree is the place to be. It rhymes. Everything's a dollar there, and I've talked about the Dollar Tree. I think I've talked about the Dollar Tree before, where they sell books, hardback books, for a dollar there, brand new, perfect for book plate bastards or getting signed. But I get my envelopes there. I get my index cards there. Stamps, I get them as I need them. I take, whenever I do TTMs, I get all the TTMs that I've done, put them in a big old box, head off to the post office, and order as many stamps as I need. So I don't actually buy booklets and keep them at home. I just buy stamps at the post office as I need them. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, and I'll just follow up. Same as Zane, I buy a lot of that stuff at the Dollar Tree too. Otherwise, like I said, if I'm in Walmart or Target or something, I'll pick up a couple boxes of envelopes just so I always have them so I don't run out. All right, we'll go on to the second question he asked. When do you think, if ever, you will say you've had enough of collecting autographs? I don't think myself I'll ever come to that point. There'll be points where I'll slow down a bit. I won't do quite as much as I do. I mean, everybody, you get burned out doing stuff, anything you do after a while. So, I mean, I'll take breaks and everything, but there'll be breaks that I'm still sending stuff out, just not to the extent that I'm sending stuff out now. What about yourself, Zane?
Well, I think this is a vital new thing that we have with the YouTube community, that it's hard to make it almost an old hobby. Back in the day, when I started collecting, I didn't have the YouTube community, obviously, to converse with and watch videos every day. And it gets stale, you know. After a while, you go on a 3-month tear of sending out a ton of TTMs. And then you may not send out any for a month. And that's just the way it was. With the YouTube videos, and it's almost like pressure. Even if you're a minor YouTuber, there's pressure to post your mail day every time you get it. And once you post that mail day, you watch other people's videos, and you may see an autograph that, hey, I want to write to that guy. And it sparks your interest. It's like almost every day. So I think with the advent of the YouTube community and the way that the autograph community on YouTube has just grown, it almost sucks you in every day and refreshes your enjoyment of the hobby. And I think that's going to help a lot in the coming years with these little spurts where we don't send out anything. In the long run, is there any time I see myself not collecting? I think this has been a part of my life for so long, writing off TTMs and getting stuff back, that if I didn't have something to look forward to in the mailbox every day, that would feel like, you know, it's part of my life missing. You know, it's fun to, oh, I wonder what I'm going to get in today. Got to get home, got to check my mail. It's just, I don't know. I don't see myself ever not having that enjoyment and just being lazy and not writing off to anybody.
Yeah, and I'll follow that up. I totally agree about the YouTube thing. I mean, that's just, like you said, it's something that wasn't around 7-8 years ago like it is now. It's where you've got the, like you said, it's almost pressure to show off what you've got and to keep letting people see what you got in. And like I said, I've been doing it pretty steady, sending stuff out now for the last probably 4 or 5 years on a regular basis. It's just part of the daily habit now. So,
right.
All right, we'll go on to the next one that Jeremy asked, this is a pretty good question as well, would you spend money on an in-person autograph if you knew the person signed TTM? And I would flat out say I would, but a lot would depend on the price point. To me, it's just a different experience if you're meeting the person. That's just a whole different...
Well, experience is the word. You're having an experience, you know? Meeting a person is a step above an autograph, through the mail, at least. You know, when you actually get to meet them, there's a story behind it. There's stories behind TTM, especially when you write letters to them and they write letters back or send you an awesome item. But when you actually meet them, you can say, hey, I met that person or blah, 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 blah. And it just adds to the entire experience. So, yes, I would definitely, like, Betty White signs TTM. But if Betty White came to my hometown and had a book signing or something, I'd be there in a split second. I would pay easily $50 to meet Betty White. I mean, and she signs for free. But to meet her is a totally different thing. So I don't even think that's autograph related. I'd say you're paying for the experience, not the autograph at that point.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like I said, I'd someday want to get to some of these Comic-Con stuff out there. It's the one bad thing about being stuck in Iowa in the middle of nowhere. We get none of that stuff in this state, so...
Iowa Con, corn.
Yeah. Hey, we got the Field of Dreams.
That's right.
And that just got sold to somebody, so we'll see what happens with that.
You have the Field of Dreams, and you also have the Field of Dreams.
Ashton's from here, too.
And you guys also have American Pickers, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
let's see. You got anything else to add to that?
Well, you're talking about Comic-Con. I was just trying to figure out a joke to work in with Felicia Day and me going to Comic-Con and becoming a professional stalker. But the joke never really panned out, so let's just go ahead and move on.
Okay. And the last question that Jeremy asked kind of ties in with this the previous question as well. Have you spent money on an in-person autograph? And if so, how much? Really, the only thing I can think of, I went to a TNA pay-per-view. They had a weekend in St. Louis. It had been 2 years ago. 2 years ago, this coming April, and they had a fan fest that I went to. It was like, I think it was $100, but they had everybody that was involved with the pay-per-view was there signing. So I went. I mean, that only thing I can think off the top of my head as far as paying for in person. Like I said, being stuck in Iowa, I don't get a lot of that opportunity to go to in-person stuff. So what about you, Zane?
Well, you know, I was with the hooker one time and she took a check, so she endorsed the back of the check with her autograph, so I guess that would be my most expensive.
What is with this show? started off with the porn star. You were talking about fisting.
Okay, seriously though, probably William Shatner, even though I never got the autograph. Because it wasn't even in person, I guess. But it's as close as you can get to in person without being in person, because it was through this website called liveautographs.com, where you could pay the celebrity to actually say a message in a video to you and then sign the autograph. So I was doing tech videos back then, and I thought it would be awesome to have William Shatner talk about how amazing Zane Savage was. So I had him say I put all this ridiculous stuff. I think one of the lines was, Zane Savage, he's the only solution to global warming and stuff like that. Like, is this totally ridiculous? I was like, I'm going to get William Shatner to effing say this. Like, one of the most famous actors of all time, freaking Captain Kirk, is going to say this awesome stuff about me. And when he did the video, he's like, Zane Savage. This stuff is so ridiculous. I can't even say this. Good luck to you, Zane. You have weird friends. That's what I got for $150 freaking. So that's probably the most... I mean, that's when I count as an IP, because all the other IP stuff I went to is usually free. I got my money back, by the way. I wrote the company and complained. I did not get the autograph in the mail, so it ended up not going through, but...
But that video is on YouTube, correct?
The video is on YouTube, and I created an anti-Shatner society to kind of benefit from the video, if you will. And, of course, you can put the initials together of anti-Shatner society. you know, A-S-S. Anyways, that was a big thing for a while. I had, like, fans making videos against Shatner. I had a segment called Shatner Secrets. This is going in the wrong direction. This has nothing to do with the question. I'm just going to shut it off right there. If you guys want to know more about it, Google it. Okay, next question.
Alrighty, the last question is going to tie in with our discussion for this week. And this is coming from AJ Nike Rocks 99 on YouTube. And he was asking about our opinion on getting auto pin or preprints back as your as the success or non-success or however you want to put it. He added the, as far as his examples for business cards and photos and whatnot. So it's a good question. Myself, I just kind of say it is whatever you get back. Cause I kind of like with the secretarial thing or nobody not signing anything. They don't have to. I mean, they're not obligated to sign anything. They're not obligated to send you anything. I mean, yes, it's disappointing, especially some of the lesser known people that do this, that send the preprints or auto pins or whatever. But like I said, it's just, I mean, you're still getting something back, and sometimes, I mean, you get, I mean, there's some nice photos that come back, even if they are auto prints or preprints or whatever. So what's your thoughts on this, Zane?
Well, I mean, obviously the same thing with secretarials that we said, where this person's right to do it, and they can do whatever they want. They have no obligation to sign, blah, blah, blah. But when you bring up preprints and auto pins, even with secretarials, I don't know if I brought this up, there is a problem with that because you're sending those out to fans and people who are not in the autograph hobby. Let's say somebody sends to, who sends out a preprint? Rowan Atkinson. I know he sends out a lot of preprints because he hates to sign. And I really need his autograph. If you have Rowan Atkinson's autograph, email me because I really want it. Somebody writes to him who's a big fan of Rowan Atkinson, doesn't collect autographs, just wants an autograph because they like Rowan Atkinson. He sends a preprint. That person may not know the difference between a preprint and a real autograph. Therefore, they go around telling people that they have a real autograph, and they get tight on money. They go on eBay and try to sell that preprint as an authentic autograph. That happens all the time. So that's the problem I have, especially with auto pins, which definitely, if you're not in the autograph community, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. If you are, you should. I know there's people in the autograph community that can't. Do your research. It's not that hard to tell the difference between auto pin. They are getting better, but there are certain things you can look for. Secretarials, that's, I mean, unless you're in the know. I mean, you have to be deep in the know to figure out if it's a secretarial or not. So you have to have access to a gallery of autographs like Star Tiger, or I guess you could Google it, but you're most likely not going to get as good a selection as Star Tiger. So it confuses collectors, it confuses regular people, it creates these fakes, these preprints to be sold as authentics, floods the market with them. That's the number one problem I have with preprints, secretarials, and auto pins.
I totally agree with you on that part of it. But I mean, like I said, it's like I've said before, a lot of this hobby, it's you have to do research. You have to do research. You have to educate yourself on what's real, what's not real, who sends out preprints. One good thing a lot of people can do is, this is the company that's famous for doing this, Studio Fan Mail. You can actually, I think they still have a website, don't they?
Yeah, and they list who they support, who they take care of on the autograph front, and they're not real. Go ahead with you're probably gonna say that.
And this is just, I mean, like what I was gonna say. This is just a good source. You can go there. I believe, like Zane said, they list who they represent, who they take care of, and for the most part, if you get something back from these people, I mean, it's gonna be coming from them. So probably 95% of the time it's not going to be a legit autograph.
I'm pretty sure 100%. Maybe 99.9%. Maybe somewhere. Maybe they sent a studio mail, fan mail. Somebody sent a studio fan mail once, maybe. And the celebrity was there when the piece of mail got there or the email got there and they signed an autograph. That's the only chance, because I've never seen anything authentic come back from them.
What I was saying about that, well, I was talking about the celebrity. It's like if somebody finds a private address or something, that might work. Because a lot of times, it's not even the studio fan mail at, it's not even that address they're sending off to or sending an email to off. They're sending to an address that's listed off on Star Tiger, and that's what they're getting back is something from studio fan mail or.
What's the other one? There's another one, fan mail, and it's not fanmail.biz, that's a freaking website. There's another one out there too. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. There are a couple companies that people hire just to send out fake preprints to people who ask for autographs. And if you, like Stacey said, if you send to an address that even is a legit address, maybe an agency address, the companies still handle that mail. The mail gets all sent to the preprint agencies, and then they send out the preprints. So they do pay for shipping for those large photos, so that's nice.
Yep, I think that's all I've got on that front. Anything else you wanted to add on that at all? Or?
Death to preprints.
There we go. All righty. We'll move on to what's the next.
Oh, we're moving on to the. Sorry, I'm sleeping over here. We're moving on to the giveaway wiener. By the way, the keyword is envelope. The keyword is envelope. The giveaway winner for last week is, drumroll please, or not, Pushing GW. Congratulations, Pushing GW. Guys, if you want to know who won first, except for this week, we didn't post it before we did the podcast, but usually we post a video on your YouTube channel showing who the winner is for the week before. So if you want to see who wins the giveaway before we actually announce it on the podcast, go subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/autographweekly. Of course, Pushing GW won the Bubba Smith signed 8x10, which is awesome. Congratulations, bro or chick, whoever you are, whatever your genitalia may be. This week, guys, if you caught the key word, then all you have to do is go to Facebook and type in the keyword on our wall at facebook.com/autographweekly. But what's up for grabs? What am I trying to win this week? What do I get if I go to facebook.com/autographweekly and put in the keyword? You win a Dennis Eckersley certified Panini Century Collections postmark serial numbered out of 250. I believe it's a sticker auto. But, like I said, certified auto card from Panini, a very sweet card. I don't need it anymore, so my gain is your gain, since I already have, I just got 3 Dennis Eckersley TTMs into this week. So this baby is going out to one of you guys. Again, keyword, go to facebook.com/autographweekly. Put the keyword in there. It was in the show. Just find the keyword. Posted on our wall, you'll automatically be entered to win the Dennis Eckersley autograph. Let's move on to TTM of the week.
I'm going to.
No, this is funny because I specifically said, I said, Stacey, I'm going to put a little line here so I don't run over you and run over your little plug here. I said, I'm going to put this line here so I remember, so I won't just go on to TTM of the week. What I do, I skipped your plug. Go ahead, dude.
You're getting old, man.
I am.
All right. I talked about this a little bit on the Facebook page a couple days ago. I'm actually going to be starting a daily giveaway. It is going to start on Friday, and it's going to run through January 1st of next year, 2012. This will just be kind of a holiday daily giveaway I'm going to do. So be on the lookout for that. I'll have some more information on the Facebook page as far as that goes and what you've got to do. And like I said, that will start on Friday. So be on the lookout for that.
And you could give one autograph away every day, right?
That's correct.
That's crazy, man. You're insane.
That's me.
I may enter, and I'll probably lose. Am I disqualified already since I'm your co-host?
Yeah, I'm going to make that rule.
Boo! That's fine. You're disqualified from my contest.
I've already given you like my. You already gotten my museum in your house anyway.
That's true. I do. Me and Stacey have made a lot of trades over the. I almost said years, over the last few months. So, okay. So now, can we move on to TT Team of the Week? Is that okay with you, Stacey?
That's fine. Okay.
You sure? You sure you don't want to plug anything else?
No, I actually want to move on to this.
Okay, TTM of the week. Go ahead and give the stats.
Someone's on a winning streak now.
Two That's is right. not a streak. Two is not a streak, my friend.
If you watch Major League, it is.
Go ahead, the freaking stats.
Alrighty, this week's winner is Kelvin ML with his Dean Smith autographs that he got. He won with 14 votes and 78% to TTM Central's 4 votes and 22% for Zane Savage's favorite politician, George W. Bush.
Sarcasm.
I tried.
Yeah.
So congrats to Kelvin ML for winning this week, and let's get to this, or for winning for last week, let's get to this week's nominees. I am going to start with Tennessee Valley TTM with his Michelle Williams. He got in, actually got that in today. There's been a few of these coming in, not a whole lot, but she doesn't sign a whole lot. This is just a venue address that got out there, so I am a huge Dawson's Creek fan, so I'm going to go with this Michelle Williams from Tennessee, or TN Valley TTM. We're just used to call him Tennessee Valley on YouTube, but his actual username is TN Valley TTM. So who are you going to nominate this week, Zane?
I'm disappointed. Stacey was going to go with Jeremy Bullock, which would be a weak choice. Jeremy Bullock's a great guy, but he signs a lot. So I'm surprised he switched his nomination, because I thought I'd definitely have him beat this week. But we'll see. It'll be interesting now that he picked Michelle Williams, because I'm picking Heather Locklear. Mr. Bloodspawn 80 got her in, signed, I think, one photo. So I think he got her in today, I believe, unless my days and nights are mixed up. So that's my nomination, guys. That'll be on the front page of Autograph Weekly. Just go there. It's the poll on the right-hand side, and enter your vote. And hopefully I can defeat Stacey this week. We'll see.
It's the Battle of the Ding this week.
The Battle of the Ding, yeah. It's true. An older ding and a newer ding. So
I think
that's,
we need to move on.
Yeah, well, we need to move on to nothing because we're done with the show. So, guys, we're going to wrap it up. I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacey Schaefer. As always, stay classy.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.